I've been wanting to have this discussion since 3 o'clock because there is so much interesting news happening in Israel today. Lots to get through. Maurice, thanks for being with us as per usual.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
So let's start with this ostensible, possible constitutional crisis where certain members of the Likud are saying they refuse to obey a judgment of the Supreme Court of Israel, the Bagatz. This brings us to a dangerous place. I thought maybe you'd just give us the background and tell us where we're at.
So, I mean, and so the background, the wider background is obviously the battle that's been going on over the last probably 20 years with the Israel Supreme Court sitting as ostensibly as the High Court of Justice, taking more and more power and jurisdiction for itself at the expense of the government, becoming the ones who decide on all types of policy. What will the immigration policy to Israel be? Who will be allowed in as asylum seekers? In what cases will terrorists be allowed into Israel and be given medical treatment? Anything and everything that the Supreme Court could object to and go against the government, that's what they've been doing. They've been striking down in Israel. They have a difference between regular laws and basic laws. Basic laws have been interpreted by the courts when convenient for them as part of Israel's constitution. And so when inconvenient for them, they struck down an amendment to a basic law that was passed 2.5 years ago. So really the Supreme Court has been taking more and more power, really taking over the position of the government, but with zero responsibility for what actually happens and the consequences of their actions. And now they're discussing a subject which is entirely esoteric. The board, the managing board of the second broadcasting company in Israel, it's something which really the court did not have to get into, and yet they pushed themselves into this position in order to prevent the government from making any decisions, and then said, well, whilst we've struck down every other option, we're going to allow that board to keep on functioning, those that we actually agree with their position, even though the law requires a minimum quorum, and that quorum doesn't exist. So really what they were saying is that we're allowing this board to break the law in the name of us striking down every government alternative option.
Sounds to me like we're in a very unpleasant place. Sounds to me, and I understand that judicial reform is required in Israel for many, many, many reasons. I understand the activist bench of Aaron Barak. I understand that they took too much power to themselves. But the way to deal with it surely is by legislation and elections, not by saying you're not going to obey the lawful ruling of the Supreme Court. That gets you to a very dangerous place, does it not?
Without question, the right way to move forward is to pass legislation, but the court refuses to accept even that the passage of legislation as legitimate. The court intervenes, as I said, even in a basic law, even when the government comes and changes what should be a constitutional change, the very, very basis of all judicial decisions in the state of Israel, and the court says, you know what, I don't like that, so I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah, it's a problem.
The court is driving this constitutional conflict all the way to its very unfortunate end, taking even powers away from the government, from the legislator. There's almost no separation of powers left, because the court has decided we decide everything. All the power is in our hands. And that's not something which can be tolerated. And they won't even allow the government and the Knesset to change that via legislation.
Wow. All right. I don't know what the way out of this conundrum is, but we're not going to solve that in 5 minutes. Let's move on to a related issue. There are a number of platforms today, I think the Jerusalem Post as well, of Times of Israel, saying that the government is pushing ahead with a slew of contentious legislation in pre-election blitz. What is this? Are we trying to curry favor with the Haredim before the elections? What's happening?
So I think there's a combination of all types of different things going on. Some of that legislation, and everyone who defines contentious legislation, it's in their own eyes, obviously.
Fair enough.
So part of the contentious legislation is trying to move forward on this idea of what to do with the Haredim, whether to bring them into the government, whether to allow them to avoid the draft, whether to even specifically stop and prevent any form of law enforcement against Haredi draft dodgers. I think that whole legislative push is very much a disgrace. If you're going to prevent law enforcement, then do it for everybody and not just for the Haredim, because that is obviously a distinction that cannot be justified. The whole question of Haredim going into the army is a very, very political subject, and the Haredi parties have, unfortunately, far too much power and can really serve their communities abusing the power that they have. So that could be some of the contentious legislation. Other contentious legislation is this idea of separating off the head of the prosecution from the legal advisor to the government. That's something which is which some see as contentious, because they support the institution of the legal advisor to the government, even though, again, now in this last period, Gali Baharav Miara, the Attorney General, has been basically more supportive of Bagatz and the constitutional revolution that they're running there than she has been as an advisor to the government. She has joined petitions against the government, most recently with the appointment of the head of the Mossad. She joined private petitions against the government where she's meant to be the advisor to.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And then she lost. So the idea of separating off the position of the head of the prosecution from the legal advisor. This week we also saw, I'm sure you've already discussed, or maybe the end of last week, the comments of the judges in the Netanyahu trial, that they believe that the prosecution should get rid of the indictment for receiving a bribe. That he's going to be acquitted. So here you have an attorney general that's just simply digging her heels in as the head of the prosecution at the moment, at the same time as she's meant to be advising Prime Minister Netanyahu as the attorney general. So some would consider that legislation somewhat controversial. I do not believe so.
Interesting take. I want to move on to something completely different. There were concerning pictures coming out of Tehran, massive, massive crowds at Khamenei's funeral, calls for revenge against the United States and Israel. Is this being widely reported in Israel? Is there nervousness? Is there unease? What's the Israeli reaction to what's going on in Tehran over the last 24 hours?
I think more than anything else, Israel is looking at that whole situation as somewhat pathetic. We've seen those massive crowds doing the same thing, calling for the death of Israel, the death of America, all too many times before. The fact that Mujtaba Khamenei, the spiritual leader of Iran, didn't even turn up for the funeral of his father is obviously making that whole situation into a laughable joke. It was to be expected that there would be those calls at the funeral procession and during this whole process. We have to understand there are some probably 25 to 50 million Iranians who still support the regime.
Yeah.
It's not that all of the Iranians hate the IRGC and the regime, and so that in and of itself is a question as to where are they going, and what they're going to do. I don't think anyone in Israel really fears an imminent strike from Iran. Iran understands what the consequences of that would be, and they would much rather do what they're doing now, which is just drag their feet in the negotiations. I think we're now on day 20 of the 60 days, and there are 40 days left and nothing has been done. And the Iranians are constantly dragging their heels, and they are expected to do that in the future as well. So and in the meantime, they're having these shows of support. It's very much we are the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, with our connections, understood that part of this scene was even engineered, with every government worker being told that they and their entire families were expected to show up for all of the processions, and if not, there would be consequences. So, while there
Interesting.
is a lot of support still, the size of the support that was seen was even exaggerated from
Interesting.
that point of view. So it's all a propaganda. Unfortunately, it's a bad word because it carries lives behind it. But for the Iranians, it's all just a propaganda war. That's a propaganda game. That's what they do. So I don't think we should be
Not overly
overly
concerned.
worried about
Okay.
those forms more than we were before.
More research, we're going to leave it there. I'm out of time. As always, thank you so much for your contributions here on the Home Run on Chai FM.